from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning. Happy Monday. And thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Hello, everybody. Another beautiful Monday morning to start off the week.
Ursula, I just want to warn you right now. I don't know what kind of mood this is. This isn't even coffee, by the way. I am in a great mood. Like, unbelievably great mood. I was trying to share that with you guys during our morning meeting. Just excited about today.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't hurt that we have some beautiful weather on tap.
It does not. It's beautiful out. And let's just get to it. Let's get to Ursula's top five news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
And I think one of the reasons we're in a great mood is because there is a big game tonight. The Gonzaga Bulldogs have a chance to win it all and bring home the national title. And Zag fans are feeling confident.
Oh, yeah. It's a team of destiny. And we have unfinished business. FTJ, finish the job. We're winning the natty. Go, Zags! Let's go!
But their quest to play for the national title almost ended Saturday night when a scrappy UCLA team took them into overtime. The game was literally won at the last second with a miracle shot. And Cairo 7 TV's Gary Horker is in Indianapolis.
Exuberant Zag fans were breathing a sigh of relief as they exited gates of Lucas Oil Stadium after Jalen Suggs hit an absolute miracle shot.
Gonzaga has time to do something.
Moments after the reality of this fantasy shot was processed by stressed-out Gonzaga fans.
A win's a win, but that is Jalen Suggs is a bad man. Drew Timmy is the GOAT.
They unleashed an intense volume of relief.
And now we are all Zags fans, right, G?
I'm gonna
turn you on this one.
Wait, I thought you were gonna go to number two. I just started the show off telling you how much of a great mood I'm in, how great Monday is. The sun is beautiful. I'm so excited, and then you start number one off with that. Really?
Okay, come on. Okay, so I'm gonna talk about, first of all, let's just go back to Saturday night.
Okay,
that was the best college basketball game I have ever watched. I cannot, and I don't know, correct me, but what can you think of another game that was anywhere close to that in terms of just going back and forth, all the emotions, you know, an 11th seeded team that barely even made it into the tournament going against the undefeated Gonzaga Bulldogs?
First, before I lay down and lay out my hate, let me say this first. Congratulations to all the Zag fans out there. It was phenomenal, phenomenal win. Now to talk about the game. Ursula, yes, you're white.
Right.
That game was incredible. I have not been on the edge of my seat for a college basketball game like that in a long time. It was everything it was built to be. It was a back and forth. It was a battle. Both teams were great. Gonzaga, of course, goes ahead and wins it with the last second shot by Jalen Suggs. It was great. Then it was heartbreak because the Zags won. And here we are today. It's a championship game, and I'm no longer a UCLA fan. I am now a Baylor fan. That's right, baby. Baylor. I'm a Baylor fan. Well, wait a minute. I just thought about something.
I still don't understand. What is your thing with Gonzaga? And I got to tell you, I got a lot of people sending me text messages saying, what's the deal? I may have to boycott the show if G just keeps doing that.
Ursula, that's you being nice right now. You get those emails all the time about me bringing the show down and why they can't stay and listen to the show. Wait a minute, real quick. I just thought about something. And here's what I thought about. Why are you celebrating so tough? And it's you that's the big UCLA fan. It's your oldest son that's a UCLA alum. What's up with that?
Okay, a couple of reasons. One is because they did lose to UCLA. So now I want the Zags to win because they got so close. And that would mean, hey, the Bruins were the second best team, right? I mean, I don't think that tonight's game against Baylor is going to be anywhere close. So that's number one. Number two, I consider the Zags a local team. Yes, they're all the way over in Spokane. Yes, that is like a, you know, more than 5-hour drive. But many students and alums live in Western Washington. You know, I love Blanchette High School. It is a feeder school for Gonzaga. So absolutely. Plus, I can hear you snickering over there.
Okay, go ahead.
Plus, Gonzaga could become the first team in 45 years to go undefeated in men's college basketball. Okay. First. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just going to give you all the reasons.
Okay.
Then Mark Few as head coach. He's been there since 1999. You cannot deny that that man is doing something right. Okay, so they have been at the NCAA tournament every year with the exception of 2020. They've been there every year since he's been coaching. I mean, what other coach can say that?
Right.
So why do I support them? Yes, you know, and I know people are like, you know, it's hardly a local team.
It's not a local team.
But I'm going to say, you know what? It's state of Washington. A lot of people from Western Washington are here.
They don't even like us. If you're listening right now, text in 98973 and you're from East. You know who they is. They is all the time. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to tell you who they is. Folks listening right now from Eastern Washington, you guys text us all the time and be like, yeah, we over here in Eastern Washington, we don't like you guys in Western Washington. So now all of a sudden, I'm supposed to claim that Spokane in Eastern Washington is the home team?
Yes.
No.
State of Washington.
No.
You have much more of an affiliation with Gonzaga and the state of Washington than you do Baylor. I think you're just jealous, honestly. And I'm going on to our next headline, which is actually much more serious. We are now hearing from the father of a Marysville student targeted with racist death threats. And he says district leaders are not taking these threats seriously, and he wants them to resign.
Enough! It's enough!
That is J.J. Frank, who says he and his wife were misled when they were told that the students who threatened to kill their daughter and other black classmates were removed from school. But in reality, they say the suspects were allowed to return to classes at a different school in the same district, and parents were never informed.
They said that they wanted to kill my daughter! My 15-year-old daughter!
And at this news conference over the weekend, the Franks also expressed their frustration that hate crime charges have not yet been filed against the students, even though the Marysville police chief is recommending them.
What's taking so long? This happened in December, late December, and some of January. It is now April 5th. What's taking so long? Justice delayed is justice denied. There needs to be accountability made about this, Ursula. Now, you mean to tell me that the kids were removed from one school and put into another school to attend classes, and the parents and family weren't even notified about that? And why are we just now, again, I want to repeat, why are we just now asking these questions about what is going to be the punishment or what's going to be the problem solver in this case? I just don't understand why these things are delayed, Ursula.
This is not that much of a delay, I will say, because you got to remember that courts are slowed down because of the pandemic. They're not operating at full speed, and it requires an investigation. So,
real quick, courts don't have anything to do with the decision to put the child from one class into another school in another class in the same district.
You're talking, okay, when you say, absolutely. So I thought you were talking about justice delay.
No,
I thought you were talking
fair.
About court, the court part of it, the hate crime charges.
Okay,
so let's go back to the school. The system in the school district seems to favor the students who are the alleged perpetrators instead of the victims. That's wrong. I agree with you. How can the students who got the death threats feel safe knowing that the people who made those threats are still there? So the answer, though, is apparently, according to the superintendent, it's state law that prevents the district from sharing details about the discipline of these students. And so the superintendent claims that the district has taken a number of steps. Right. But these are not, I mean, the J.J. Frank, who heads Marysville's YMCA, he says, ever since the students have reported these alleged crimes, they did not get counseling. It seems like, again, the students who made the claims are getting preferential treatment. And in fact, he says now his daughter and other students who were targeted are now even facing more harassment and bullying. That is not what you want to have happen.
No, Not at all.
As younger Seattle public school students return to in-person learning today, the city is planning to close streets to cars and open them to families who are walking and biking to and from school. And school zone safety cameras are soon going to be switched back on. The city has built more than 20 safe route to school projects since last year, funded by levy tax dollars. These zones are actually similar to the city's Stay Healthy streets, with more space for social distancing at school pickup and drop-off locations. And these streets also will include one or two blocks directly adjacent to the schools that are marked with street closed signs. Do you think this is a good idea or a pain in the neck?
Ursula, can you promise not to get mad at me with what I'm going to say?
Okay, yes.
This is dumb.
Uh-oh.
This is dumb.
Why?
What are you closing streets for? This is
to
unnecessary.
Keep people alive, apparently.
Apparently, and that's the idea, but that's not really what's going on here. This is just we want to keep kids safe. We know that. Most kids, yes, in school zones and school areas, but closing down streets is going to be more of a nuisance and more of a problem for people in those neighborhoods. It's going to be congested. People are going to be hitting Sully up all the time. What do I do? This is unnecessary. Ursula, don't tell me you agree with this.
I obviously want students to be safe.
Okay.
I mean, obvious. That's an obvious thing. However, I think the school safety zones that are already in place do that if you enforce the speed limits throughout those areas. So you already have cameras to catch people speeding. Why do you need to close down entire blocks? I agree, because my fear would be, and as someone who lives in a city neighborhood, that's only going to force traffic onto other neighborhood streets that are actually not monitored. And that could cause even more problems.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and then the other thing that I just don't want to happen, mm-hmm. because I've seen it, where the city, SDOT, thinks it's doing this great thing by shutting off streets, painting the roadways, and then calling them parks, putting a couple of boulders in. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, no one uses those as parks, and they just mess up traffic even more. So
false sense of security, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. When you're like, oh, don't worry. Yeah. You can just go ahead, go in the streets. The streets are, quote, closed.
Yeah, and I'm not going to, yeah, whether it's a park or whether it's, if it's an effort to keep cars off, I think it does create a false sense of security for sure. So if you think that you're seeing a lot more homeless tents in Seattle these days, it is not just your imagination. A new survey shows the number has actually gone up by more than 50% during the pandemic. The research was done by Seattle Pacific University and the University of Washington, and their survey shows there were 800 tents in the city during the summer of 2019. Now there are more than 1,200, and they say that's likely actually an underestimate.
Well, that's because the city of Seattle is sending out $3 million surveys. What needs to – this deal on – I don't know, Ursula, if it's like, does this mean that the homeless issue has doubled? Like, the amount of homeless people in Seattle has doubled in the last year. I don't think that's the case.
No, what it means is that basically, I mean, the Seattle Times actually has the information from April of 2020 through the end of the year. So from last April through the end of the year, there were only 13 encampment removals. That's compared to 754 removals during that same time period in 2019. The pandemic has created, I think, an easy excuse not to have to deal with the problem, because the CDC says, you know, you don't want to. There have not been any big studies or there's not a lot of evidence showing that COVID is spreading in these camps. But yet, you know, we got rid of the navigation team. Other cities are clamping down. Mercer Island, you know, Lake Forest Park, all these other cities are saying, hey, we're not going to allow this. So they're all coming to Seattle. But I will mention something kind of cool is happening in Tacoma. And apparently it also exists in Seattle. I just haven't heard a lot about it. But Tacoma is launching this program that will allow people in encampments or shelters be given a chance to work on cleaning up litter and then getting paid for it. They're going to be paid minimum wage. They can work up to 20 hours, 4 days a week. And I think we need to do that kind of in a much bigger way. Because then it gives them a chance to have some kind of work record. gives them a chance to make money and maybe make some headway because, you know, as we said, now these camps and these tents are everywhere. So this doesn't happen very often, G. Amazon is now apologizing and moving away from comments made on Twitter last week about their delivery drivers urinating in bottles because they have no time to take bathroom breaks. As you remember, thousands of Twitter users chimed in after the company was questioning whether people really believe that peeing in bottles claim. And they said, you know, if this were true, no one would want to work for Amazon. Well, apparently, as Chef puts it, they snoped themselves, did a fact check, and found out, yes, it's true. So now they're saying, oh, we wrongly focused on our fulfillment centers. We didn't think of what the drivers have to go through. And the company now says, yes, it wants to solve this problem, but they don't yet know how.
So on one hand, I was talking bad about Amazon. And I said, Amazon, how dare you, and get on Twitter and actually try to dispute the fact that yes, there are folks peeing in bottles, right? Like, you tried to actually dispute that. Now you want to get on there and you want to chase, oh, you know what? We do know that that's happening. But like every other topic that we talk about, Ursula, there's always a root issue that's going on. Yes. And so I said to myself, self, what part are you playing in some of these employees peeing in a bottle? Well, Ursula, this is what I do. I get on Amazon and I order something. And if that package is going to take 3 days, I said, how dare you take 3 days? I don't want it. And they say, no, G, well, what if we can get it to you in less than 2 days? Okay, I want it. Then I am adding to the pee population. I am the problem. Me personally. Now, I don't know about
well, you're
you,
one
Ursula.
Of the problems. Wait. I still put the problem on Amazon because you need to allow for, they're making so much money. So you either hire more drivers or you make sure that they are allowed bathroom breaks. Okay. But I say that as I do. I'm even worse than you. I won't buy if it's more than 24 hours before I
get it. I just want to know. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to ask this question, but these are the things that's on my mind. What do the ladies do in these situations, Ursula?
The same thing the men do. I don't get it. What? Why would it be any different? Oh, pee in the bottle?
A little set up in the back of the van?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A porta potty?
How often do you driving all along the way in a neighborhood, you got to stop off at a porta potty? That's
Amazon
all I'm saying.
Sells tools for that, by the way, for ladies.
Oh, you know, there are undergarments, too, you know.
You remember that lady that went cross-country and uh-huh. she kept a diaper on?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, still ahead. Even though more people are getting vaccinated, we are seeing more COVID cases again. Could King County see a reopening rollback? We're going to talk about that next. You're listening to the G and Ursula Show. Back to the G and Ursula Show, Monday morning edition. Have you let your guard down? Are you still taking precautions like you did earlier in the pandemic? If your answer is yes to the latter, that you are still taking those precautions, we need more people like you. COVID-19 is spreading more quickly than people can be vaccinated, and cases and hospitalizations are climbing throughout King County. And apparently, it is not just socializing that's the problem.
The last 8 weeks, there's been a 16% increase in outbreaks across non-healthcare work sites, and these include manufacturing, retail, delivery, hospitality, and other businesses.
That is King County's health officer, Dr. Jeff Duchin, who's now warning that the increase in cases could lead to a rollback of the COVID restrictions, as in we might have to go back to the more limited phase two.
Well, I'm going to talk about myself here in a second, but before I do, I want to talk about right now the difference between the previous surges and another possible surge that is on the horizon. I was watching CNN this past Sunday, and I watched emergency physician Dr. Lena Nguyen, and she was on there, and she talked about how older populations have been prioritized, of course, nationwide for the COVID-19 vaccinations. Right now, 54% of...
Uh-oh, we lost G.
54% of those over the age of 65 had been fully vaccinated. The problem is right now we need more people vaccinated because of the B117 variant that's coming, and that is starting to have younger people that are really kind of adding to the case count increase. And then I want to talk about here locally as we started to see the percentages start to go up, and I'll include myself. I told you guys last week, I don't know if I shared with you that I took two tests last week. Did I share that part?
Yes, you did. Yeah. And you can tell, I mean, you've got a cold right now. I mean, you can tell you are very congested.
I'm very congested. And I'll tell you guys what happened. Let's see, a weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I was, it was someone's birthday, and it was an outside deal, and I was outside. Well, come to find out that somebody was there was COVID positive, right? So what that made me do is of course, I'm going to make sure I get tested and quarantine and not go around anyone. And that's what I did all last week. You probably heard me last week. I sounded congested. I'm like, oh boy, I still sound congested.
Yeah.
And I was like, I probably have COVID. Well, I took tests last week. All of them came negative. Then this weekend, one of my buddies that I was really standing next to, he had tested negative last week. And then all of a sudden he woke up on yesterday morning. He woke up with no taste or smell.
Oh,
right away. And he's like, gee, I'm like, oh boy. Okay. So yesterday I hit you guys up and I went back to go get tested. So I'm waiting for those results. I'm saying that to say this. This COVID and how it moves and operates, it's tricky. Like, it's really like you might have read a story or you might know of a story. It is just different at all times.
Well, can I ask you something, though? Because you said you made a point of saying your get-together was outside. I'm guessing because now we're allowed to have, you know, and I know people scoff at it, but there's a reason why they say this. But you can have 10 people, like up to 10 people now, right, from different households to gather indoors, outdoor gatherings of up to 50. So you guys were outdoors. Were you wearing a mask outdoors? Or
no, I wasn't. Oh, okay. No.
Yeah.
I wasn't wearing a mask.
So for anyone who laughs about, oh, wearing a mask outdoors, well, you know, maybe that might have helped. I mean, it's not a guarantee, but it could have helped. But anyway, you're sharing that story because some of your group has tested positive.
Yeah, some of the folks tested positive. So, and I'm also sharing it that, you know, I'm waiting for the results. Maybe I'll get the results back this tonight, and I'll find out if I am. But now here's the catch, though, Ursula. Even if, now you remember on Friday, I did not show up for Fresh Fridays, even though I had negative results. I was not going to come into the office.
Thank you.
And even if the results come back negative again today, I'm doing the same thing. I'm going to stay away from people because I don't understand it. I'll say this to you. Do I think I have COVID? Yes, I do. I actually think that I do have COVID because
you could
not
have a cold.
I could be, but I could.
But you should assume, you know what? You're doing the smart thing by just assuming that you have it. So
yes.
Take the precautions like you, and so just isolate yourself, unfortunately. But you should assume that you have it, yeah.
I haven't had a cold like this in March, April. It's just kind of strange. It's kind of weird. But again, maybe I don't have it. But I'm going to assume that I do. And I'm going to assume this way. And by the way, my birthday is this weekend. And you know what?
Right.
And you know what that means? I'm not gonna, for my birthday, I'm not gonna do anything because I'm going to assume, even if the tests are negative, that I have it. Still.
Yeah, you know, God, it's just it is unfortunate. But the reality is, as we reopen more and more, and you know, more people are allowed. And you heard Dr. Jeff Duchin say, you know, these things are happening not just in social settings, but I mean, as we reopen businesses, you are going to see cases go up. So, what is is it as long as the hospitalization rate doesn't get to the point where, you know, we're in danger of not being able to treat people? I mean, you talked about the COVID variants. We've had at least 600 cases of those variants detected in King County. So, I mean, bottom line, I think, is we need to just keep taking precautions. It's not like I'm not living. You know, I am going into situations where there may be a risk. Yeah. But I am, you know, still doing the mask wearing, hand washing, etc., and trying to minimize that risk.
Yeah. I'll admit one last thing, Ursula. I'm grateful that I can still work right now, and I'm grateful that my health is fine. I mean, yeah, I have a cough or whatever and congestion, so I'm grateful on that side. But on the other side of things, there's a little bit of just kind of an understanding, like, you know what? Some things don't really make sense sometimes, right? And there is a possibility that someone can test negative and maybe be a certain way. You just never know, and that's why I feel like it's important to, if you feel like you have some of those symptoms and you feel like something's off, go ahead and take precautions, because you don't want to endanger someone else. Like I could have done to you guys on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we appreciate you doing that, and we appreciate your honesty. This is not going in the direction that we want. So do not let your guard down.
I just realized something, Ursula.
What's that?
And this might be an HR nightmare. I ain't had an Ursula hug in over a year.
I know.
Man,
I know,
crazy.
Right? I know.
Man.
I know, that's not an HR number.
All right. Hey, coming up next, we need to talk. And we need to talk about this. Have you guys heard and seen of the Arizona women's basketball head coach? Well, why is it there's a double standard with her and not with others? I'll explain what that is next. It's G and Ursula. Welcome back into the G and Ursula Show, coming up at 10:06. At first, folks didn't want to watch the NFL. Now find out why they don't want to watch Major League Baseball. We'll be discussing that at 10:06. But right now, Ursula, we need to talk. Over the weekend, there was a lot of basketball. Gonzaga, they won, and they're going to be playing tonight in the national championship game. On Saturday, the women's game, it was Stanford against Arizona, and they ended up losing. Arizona lost that one. That was a great game. Actually, the game was yesterday. But over the weekend, in that is Ursula Adia Barnes. Adia Barnes is the women's head coach for the University of Arizona. She used to play in the WNBA. She actually played for the Seattle Storm here, right here, local folks. Well, during a moment in which their team won on Friday night, she was in the huddle. It was kind of a private moment, and she was pumped up because Arizona had been getting no respect. Okay, Ursula, none. I mean, so much so.
They were left out of a promo thing, right?
Yes, they were left out of the promo and everything.
No one thought they would win. No one thought they would win.
No. So anyways, Adia Barnes, she gets in there. She's like, yeah, and forget the rest of everybody. Forget what everybody thinks. Kind of like that. Well, she didn't use forget, if you know what I mean. But, Chef, I want people to get a glimpse, just a feel of this head coach from the University of Arizona.
I honestly had a moment with my team, and I thought it was like a more intimate huddle. And I said to my team something that I truly felt, and I know they felt, and it just like appeared different on TV, but I'm not apologizing for it because I don't feel like I need to apologize. It's what I felt with my team at the moment. I wouldn't take it back. We've gone to war together. We look around the room and we looked around the circle. We believe in each other. So I'm in those moments, and that's how I am. So I don't apologize for doing that, but I'm just me, and I have to just be me.
Okay, let's just make it clear. She showed her two middle fingers again in the huddle. It was not meant to go, you know, to the country so everyone can clutch their pearl necklaces and pretend that they're outraged and shocked that a woman would swear. I mean, if there's a chance to make a big deal out of something, it's gonna happen.
But why?
Is such a double standard too, by the way. Would anyone even bat an eyelash if it was Phil Jackson or anyone else swearing? She wasn't swearing at anybody. She was just saying basically, you know what, to anyone who thought we couldn't make it. She was pumping up her team. It was her being her. I mean, to pretend that women don't swear or that they shouldn't swear, I mean, you're in the Stone Ages. And it's just, it's making a big deal out of nothing.
Absolutely. Now, I want to take it a step further. I just want to talk about her as a coach and just the sound bites you hear over the weekend and watching her coach and what she's done with the University of Arizona. She could be a coach for any group of individuals. You understand me? I have been around Ursula a lot of coaches in my life, mm-hmm. both professionally, college, youth, high school. I've been around a lot of coaches. And here's the one most important factor that I have learned about coaches. Players don't care how much a coach knows until they find out how much a coach cares. They don't care. A lot of coaches, they sit on a pedestal and they, I know this and I'm that and I'm all this. And then you wonder why your team doesn't play hard for you. Mm-hmm. This coach for the University of Arizona, mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, Ursula, she had me standing all weekend. I love this coach.
What
and this
you
coach
see specifically that gave you that impression? I mean, obviously she has a great rapport with her team. She knows how to motivate them. They went further. You know, unfortunately, they did not win against Stanford.
Right.
I know that that broke your heart.
No. Well, what it showed me is that this team, like if you've watched this team, they are it's about grit. They play a lot of defense. They play hard. They dive on the floor. They rebound. Like they play for their coach. And I'm telling you right now, listen to what I'm telling you guys. It's coming. It's coming a time real soon. We're going to see a woman head coach in the NBA.
Mm.
And we're going to see in the future a woman head coach in the NFL. Now, somebody's going to say, gee, there's no way a woman could coach football. Wrong. Because Bill Belichick, how much pro football did Bill Belichick play? How much pro football did Pete Carroll play? You want to be a head coach? The head coach is the CEO. Can a woman be a CEO? Absolutely right. As a matter of fact, our boss is a woman. Coming up next, we talk about why in the world are people mad at Major League Baseball. We do that next. Gene Ursula.